hope you were able to have a good conversation with the people around you. My name is Ashish. I'm the worship and teaching pastor here. I'm super excited that we get to dive into the Word together. But before we do that, would you join me? Let's just pray to open our time together, and then we'll dive into the Gospel of Luke. Jesus, we are grateful for the snow. We're grateful for the beauty of your creation. We're grateful for the breath in our lungs, the warmth of the space, the opportunity to gather together. Jesus, thank you for the ways that each of these things point to who you are. And so, Lord, as we dive into your word together, would you open up our ears to hear your voice? And would you give us the courage to respond? That is our prayer every single week. And so, Jesus, we just commit this time to you. Thank you that you are here with us. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, I've found that there are two groups of people in this world when it comes to Christmas shopping. The first group of people are the proactive people. These are the people that bought their Christmas gifts before Black Friday and already have them wrapped underneath the Christmas tree. I love receiving gifts from these people. But then you have the second group of people. And this is the group that waits till the very last moment to even think of buying a Christmas present. And this is the group that I'm in. And now, I choose to think of this not as procrastinating, but as exercising incredible patience. Now, one year I decided to take it to the extreme, and I decided to wait till December 23rd to do all my Christmas shopping. And I decided to do that shopping in the Mall of America. Terrible idea. Now, the mall was doing their best to lean into the Christmas spirit. I mean, there were beautiful lights all around and smooth jazz Christmas music that was filling the space, renditions of songs like All I Want for Christmas and Silent Night. But as soon as I walked in, all was indeed not calm and bright. Because the moment I stepped in, I could feel the tension in the air, and I could see it on the hundreds of faces around me. I mean, amidst all the signs of holiday cheer, people were anxious, they were stressed, they were frantic, they were impatient. It was almost enough to scare me into the first group of people. Almost enough. Now, Christmas can be such a weird season, right? I mean, today as we lit the Advent candle, we celebrated the theme of peace, but if we were honestly asked to define Christmas, I don't know if peace would be the first word that I'd use. I don't know if it would be the first word you'd use. Of course, there might be glimpses of peace, but it's also a season mixed with worry and stress and family drama, unmet expectations, school finals, and exhaustion. And oh, by the way, all the things we've been dealing with before Christmas don't take a break during the season, do they? I mean, we still have to grapple with the weight of loss and unexpected news and tricky finances, navigating end-of-the-year schedules, and we're holding all of this as we're moving from one event to the next. Peace might not be the first word we'd use for Christmas, but peace is what we need. Maybe you sense this need when you look at our world and you turn on the news or you check your phone and you see that there's unrest and violence and injustice and suffering here in our city and around the world. Maybe you sense this need for peace in your life with your families or your children, your friendships or your coworkers, or maybe the most complicated relationship, our calendars. Or maybe you sense this need for peace with yourself. In the deepest part of you, you feel trapped. There's a longing to trade the worry and the insecurity and the stress this season seems to bring up for true rest, true relationship, or true purpose. Peace might not be the first word we use to define Christmas, but it's definitely something we need in this season. So is there a way that we can find peace? I wonder if that's a question the folks in our passage were asking when they were encountering this season. Now, today might be a very familiar story for some of you, but in the familiarity, let's not lose sight of the incredible good news that this passage contains. And so as we dive in, I'd invite us to ask together, Jesus, how am I searching for peace like the people in this story? And how might I step towards your peace in this season? And so our passage today is found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 8. So you can turn there with me in your Bibles or your apps, or you can follow along with the text behind me. Now, Luke does such an excellent job of setting the scene. And as we read it, it's pretty apparent that this is a far cry from the serene nativity scenes we might see in someone's front yard. First, when we read the first couple verses, we see that Luke writes that Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor at the time, has just ordered a census. Now, in those days, a census was the ultimate power play. The whole goal was to figure out how much he could take from the people and how many men he could pull into the military. It was a reminder to all those that Rome had conquered, you are not in control. I, Caesar, am in control of not only your finances, but your lives. You are not people, you're simply my possession. And so as a part of the census, everyone was forced to uproot and go back to the towns that where they had to be counted. Now, they didn't have cars or planes, so this was a days or even weeks-long interruption in the midst of their busy lives. So I invite you to picture the chaos. Picture the anxiety, the stress, the impatience. I think of December 23rd at Mall of America times 10. And it's in that mess that Joseph and Mary set out for Joseph's hometown, which was around 90 miles away from where they lived. And to make matters worse, we read later that they travel all that distance only to get there and discover that Joseph's family, who they were counting on for a guest room, has forgotten to have a guest room available for them. Now, I like to imagine what Joseph felt. I mean, think about it. Joseph had held it together when the angel had turned his life upside down. He had courageously stepped towards Mary, even though in those days it would have been completely normal for him to leave her behind. It would have brought great shame on his family. And he has just tirelessly made sure that his young wife and soon-to-be son were safe as they made their way 90 miles to Bethlehem. And now his family has forgotten to prepare the guest room. If I were Joseph, that would have been the last straw. I would have exploded. And to top it off, his young wife goes into labor. And so add to the chaos of all this, the pain and messiness and worry that comes with giving birth to their first child. No matter what the songs say, I'm sure that peace was not the first word they would have used to describe this season. And it's into that mess that we pick up in Luke chapter 8, or chapter 2, verse 8. So be on the screen behind me. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Okay, I want to stop there for just a second because who this news is announced to highlights such an important characteristic and aspect of God's heart. Because the shepherds in those days were, as one commentator puts it, a despised group of people. They were the poor, they were the marginalized, even sometimes known as the troublemakers. And their night was definitely not peaceful. I mean, I imagine they're on edge because they are there to protect the sheep from any threats. And all of a sudden, boom, an angel shows up with this life-changing news. A proclamation of the birth of not a king, but the king. Now, this proclamation wasn't reserved for the halls of Caesar, who we had just read about earlier, even though that's where it would have been expected to be announced. It wasn't even reserved for the main characters of the story, of Mary and Joseph. No, over and over again in the story of God, we see that God's heart is for those on the outside to welcome them in, to provide true family, true relationship, And so the shepherds, though society would keep on the outside, are welcomed in to this messy but amazing story. But the angels aren't done. So we continue on in verse 13. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Okay, I want to focus in on this song this morning. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. In the middle of the census, the middle of oppression, the middle of unrest and unmet family expectations, the middle of startled shepherds, the angels announce peace. Now, the word for peace used here is the Greek word eirene. And it was tied to the Old Testament Hebrew word for peace, shalom. Maybe you've heard that word before. Now, shalom at its basic meaning means completeness or wholeness. A helpful picture that is sometimes used is a completed stone wall that has no gaps. There's no imperfection. It is whole. It is complete. And this restoration, this wholeness, this shalom is what the people back then longed for. I mean, in the Old Testament, we have prophets like Isaiah looking ahead to the Messiah and prophesying of the increase of his government and his peace, shalom, there will be no end. And in the New Testament, right in Luke chapter 1, actually right before Luke chapter 2, the passage we're in this morning, the priest Zechariah, when talking about Jesus, says he will guide our feet into the path of peace. Eirene, shalom. Shalom was more than just the absence of war, although that was part of it in the Bible. Shalom was also about true health, peace, welfare, safety, serenity, fullness, prosperity, restoration, harmony in every area of life. It is a small, but it is a deep word. Where things were falling apart, shalom saw lives restored, put back together like a complete wall. Now, this past month, my wife Anna and I bought a house, and one of the first things we had to do was we had to fix a retaining wall. I know, lucky us. Now, that whole story is an incredible story of God's provision and how we met our neighbor. It was an incredible story for another time, but today, I want to show you kind of the after and before picture. I'm going to show you the after picture first. So you can look at this wall. Look how nice. Look how immovable. Look how complete that wall is. But now take a look at how this started. The wood is barely hanging on under the pressure of our neighbor's house moving into ours. About to get real close. Now, if I'm honest, there have been moments in my life where I felt like the wood retaining wall. Just trying my hardest to exist under the weight of expectations and worries that I face on a daily basis. And I long for my life to look more like that first picture, like the finished product. But honestly, it feels like I'm just trying to hold it together, and I'm one good rainstorm away from it crushing me. I know I'm not the only one who has felt that way. Maybe this is where you are. Or maybe this is where someone you love is. Now, in those moments, like the shepherds, what we long for is peace, shalom, something to alleviate the pressure, something to hold it all together, something to metaphorically allow me to lift my head up and lean back, to just give me a break physically, mentally, and emotionally. Well, to the shepherds and to us, the angels bring this news that pierces through the darkness. And this news is about peace, shalom. But here's the thing about shalom, it isn't a vibe. And it isn't even a practice, it isn't a far-off concept. Shalom is a person. And guess what? The angels say that person is found wrapped in a manger. Today in Bethlehem, shalom is here. Emmanuel, God with us. The shepherds were about to come face to face with the one who was going to bring true wholeness, the shalom that they and we have longed for. And as we continue in the story of God, we see truly the depth through which Jesus would bring peace and how this peace would affect every aspect of our lives. So what does this mean that Jesus is our peace? Well, there are three things that I think this means. First and foremost, through Jesus, we can have peace with God. Now the angels announced, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. As much as I think I can hold it all together and I have it all together, daily I'm reminded that I need a Savior, that we need a Savior. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we see the ways that sin ruptured our relationship with God. And we don't have to look far to see the effects of sin and brokenness in our world and in our lives. Now, sin can be such a complicated term, but at the core, sin is not simply a list of just wrong things. Here's what you shouldn't do. I love what pastor and author Rich Velotta says, and we've used this quote before when describing sin. He says that sin is a life stuck desiring an illusion. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that centers the world on our comfort, our security, our fear, our desires, and our personal perspective. It curves us inward, leaving little room for God or anyone else. I like to think of the other day when I was caught staring at my phone and I was walking down the staircase and I missed the last stair and almost broke my ankle on the way down. When we're so caught up in a lifestyle of looking inward or looking down, this will eventually lead to pain and eventually lead to death. But Scripture also reminds us that while we were stuck in that lifestyle, stuck in sin, God, who is rich in mercy, whose favor rests on humanity. I love that image as I think of the snow yesterday just resting on the ground, covering everything in sight. This loving God wasn't content to let the relationship stay ruptured. Instead of moving away, this loving God moves towards the world that he loved. And in Jesus, God in the flesh, we see this. How he walked among us, how he healed those who needed healing, how he shared the good news of the kingdom, and how he eventually took that way of life, sin and brokenness of ourselves and of the world, the way of life that separated us from him, and he took it to the cross in our place. Dying the death he deserved, but rising again so that we don't have to be stuck staring inward, but are set free to live an abundant life with and for him. Friends, we could look all over the place for true restoration, true peace, in relationship, in money, in our businesses, in the government, even in our own strength. But true shalom, the peace we long for, is found in God's presence. And part of Jesus being Savior is that he has made a way into that presence. This is the Savior the angels announced to the shepherd. So through Jesus, we can enjoy peace with God. But second, through Jesus, we can enjoy peace with ourselves. The angels invited the shepherds to trade their fear for joy. And in a similar way, the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4, it'll be on the screen. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," that's that word, peace, Irene, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, it doesn't have to be Christmas for me to experience worry, insecurity, uncertainty, and exhaustion. I'm really blessed that I actually get to experience all these things year-round. And when I do, I'm so tempted to try and find an escape. Because if I just escape the thing that's making me feel this way, I'll be okay. Now, for me, it's usually escaping to a streaming service like Netflix or to sports or to my phone. But maybe for you, it's a person or a hobby, a job, or a habit. Now, these things in and of themselves might not be bad things, and it's normal to feel like you want to get away. But at the end of the day, the problem is often we can't. And when we come back from the escape, we're still facing the same things, the same people, the same problems. I mean, think about it. After the nativity story, the shepherds still were considered outcasts. Nothing had changed that. And Rome was still in control. And there were days when peace on earth still seemed so far away. There was still trouble and pain and stress. But here's our invitation this morning. In those moments where we kind of feel like, oh, I need peace, instead of anchoring ourselves in the means of escape, Jesus invites us to anchor ourselves in his embrace. Instead of anchoring ourselves in the escape, Jesus invites us to anchor ourselves in his embrace. Jesus would later say to his disciples in the Gospel of John, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's not in this world you may have trouble, it's in this world you will have trouble. But in the midst of that, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to anchor ourselves in Jesus' love. To remember that peace might not be the absence of chaos or conflict, but it definitely means the presence of an everlasting God with us in the midst of it. Now, like Paul mentions in his letters, two practices that help us do this or anchor ourselves to his embrace is prayer and gratitude. Both these practices can help us anchor ourselves to Jesus' love. And when we choose to fix our eyes on Jesus, I believe we're able to trade the insecurity for the ways that Jesus sees us and defines us. To trade our fear and experience joy that even in the darkest moments, God is with us. And to experience strength that goes beyond ourselves to do what we're called to do. And it starts by daily surrendering and embracing Jesus. This is what the shepherds do. The shepherds couldn't sit still. Right after the angels sing this song, they turn to each other and they say, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And the shepherds find themselves face to face with Jesus, the Savior, their peace, the one who enabled them to have true peace with God, true peace with themselves. But there's one last thing that Jesus allows us to have peace with. And if we embraced it, this could change the world. Through Jesus, we can enjoy peace with others. Now, notice what happens after the shepherds see Jesus in verse 17. So it says, when they, the shepherds, had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds don't keep the peace to themselves, but they begin to pass this news of peace wherever they go. Now, earlier this year, we talked about how the good news is that we have been saved, yes, from sin and brokenness, but we have been saved for participation in the kingdom. Now, one of the ways that we are empowered to participate in the kingdom is by joining God's work of restoration in the world and being people that carry and are overflowing with Jesus' peace towards those around us. Now, over Thanksgiving or maybe over Christmas, you will probably maybe be sitting around a table and you'll hear the phrase, can you please pass blank. Maybe over Thanksgiving it was pass the turkey, pass the mashed potatoes, pass the mac and cheese, the collard greens. In my family it was butter chicken mac and cheese. That was really good. But this Christmas season, I wonder what we are passing when it comes to our presence. Sometimes the intensity of the holidays can bring out the worst in us. So are we people that pass stress, worry, our own impatience or frustration? Are we people that pass judgment, gossip, anger, or just a general vibe of whatever you're doing is an inconvenience to me? Now, that's all normal, and that's the easy way to live life. But Jesus invites us into a new way of life. Jesus empowers us to be people that pass peace. People that are still navigating the trouble and the stress and pain of the season, we're not putting on a mask or being fake, we're being honest with that stuff. But people that are still anchored in God's presence, and so that even in the midst of the chaos, we can still love people the way that God loves them. Not so that people are drawn to us, but so that they can find the true peace that is found in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, God with them. Amidst the familiar story of the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph, I believe one of the main themes of this passage is that Jesus is the true peace we need. And we're invited to step towards that peace and share that peace with those around us. And this is what the shepherds did. They stepped towards, they ran towards the peace, and then when they saw this peace and they received this peace, they went and they shared it with everyone that would listen. Now, it takes practice, and it's a daily struggle, but we serve a Savior who sees us in the midst of the trouble, pain, and stress, and invites us to embrace him because he's present in the midst of it. And so, what does this mean for us today? Like I said, peace might not be what you describe this Christmas season as, but peace is what we all need. And the good news to the shepherds is for us as well, that today, in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And he will bring glory to God and peace, shalom, restoration on earth. And so as we end our time this morning, I just have two quick questions for us to reflect on. First, when we think about Jesus being our peace, the first question we're invited to reflect on is, where is Jesus inviting you to step towards his peace? Where is Jesus inviting you to step towards his peace? Now, maybe that's a specific area this holiday season. Maybe it's your family or your work or finals at school. I know some of our college students are just heading into that week. Maybe it's your friendships or an area like money or your marriage, and you've tried to find your anchor in each one of these different things, but you're left like that wooden retaining wall, hard to bear up against the weight of all that stuff pushing on you. So where do you need to step towards Jesus' peace? To step towards, I mean notice God's presence with you. In your everyday spaces, as you parent, as you wrap gifts, as you finish up those end-of-the-year work projects, God is there. And so where is Jesus inviting you to notice his presence and anchor yourself in his embrace? Now, there are different practices that have helped me do this. But one of the things that I've learned is that this is a daily rhythm. This is something I daily need to surrender to Jesus. Now, some of the practices that help me notice God's presence are prayer. Sometimes it's a conversation with a trusted friend as we notice what God is doing together. Sometimes it's gathering together like we're doing this morning and noticing what God is doing. These are rhythms that help me anchor my life in Jesus. And so where is Jesus inviting you to step towards his peace? And then second, where is Jesus inviting you to share his peace? And not just where, but with whom? This could be someone you know, but it could be someone you don't know. I mean, this Christmas, I'm sure you will run into a lot of people you don't know, whether that is at a concert or at the grocery store, whether you are running into the Mall of America on December 23rd. I'm with you. But who is Jesus inviting you to share his peace with? By being present, by loving the people Jesus has placed in front of us and continuing to ask the Spirit, what does joining your work of restoration in this moment look like? Knowing that Jesus empowers us to do that. Now remember, we can't just skip the first question and go to the second question. We need to receive Jesus' peace before we start sharing Jesus' peace. But when we fix our eyes on God's presence, I believe we can reflect that presence to the people around us. And this Christmas season, that's what people need. Now, last week, Steph talked about the three different Advents or the arrivals. So this week, as we celebrate this concept of peace in this person, as we celebrate Advent, we remember the first arrival of Jesus. Today we celebrate when Jesus stepped into this world, and he did so not as the Prince of power and conquering, but as the Prince of peace, the shalom that we longed for. And then we celebrate his arrival in our daily moments, the moments where the Spirit is at work in our everyday spaces. And as Jesus' followers, we're invited to daily not only step towards Jesus' peace, but then to share that peace in the places where we're called. But as we celebrate peace this Advent, we also look forward to the final arrival, when Jesus will return, and there will be true shalom, true rest, true relationship, true purpose, where all the wrong things will be made right. And there will be no more weeping, no more mourning, no more injustice, no more violence, no more pain. And I know we say that every single Sunday, but let's not lose sight of how wonderful that day will be. I look forward to that day. I'm going to invite the band up as we close. We look forward to that peace. But till that day, as we navigate the messiness of the season, would we be people that practice stepping towards Jesus' peace and sharing that peace with those around us?